Blog Talk Radio.
I'll do whatever I can, wherever I am, whenever you want me to. Yeah, you have a friend in me.
Well, welcome to today's episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, calling from Bonita Springs, Florida, as I do every Tuesday at noon Eastern, and I have my co-host, Jennifer Carter, from Empowering Women in Business, calling in from California. Good morning, Jennifer. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Gina. I'm doing real well. How are you today?
I'm good. You know, I've been thinking about this. I'm really doing a bad job of introducing myself. I never mentioned my domain name or anything.
Well, we better change that right now.
Okay, so I am Gina Gaudio-Graves, the JV Queen and Dean and Founder of TheIMUniversity.com and 30DayIMChallenge.com. There we go.
And what makes you an expert enough to host a show on relationship marketing, Gina Gaudio-Graves? I want to know.
Well, you know, that's really got to be from all my years of experience in joint ventures. Joint ventures are all about relationships. And without good relationships, you can't build a single joint venture. So it is what I have been doing for all these years. And over the weekend, I was asked to speak at a seminar the last weekend of April on the topic of social entrepreneurship, which is something else that I've been doing for lots of years. And the whole topic of social entrepreneurship really relates to building businesses that are very much for profit, but at the same time, they help to make the world a better place in some way, shape, or form. And that's all about relationships. So I'm really excited to be speaking on the topic of social entrepreneurship because I don't get an opportunity to do so often enough. And it's one that I am extremely passionate about. And I know that you've recently gotten into an opportunity that is very much what I would describe as social entrepreneurship.
Absolutely. Lots of opportunities. I'll tell you, when you first started talking about the show, relationship marketing, of course, I was focused on the marketing part of how we use relationships to market. I mean, that's kind of the premise of the show. But obviously, throughout all of these shows that we've been talking about, the bigger picture is about the relationships. And yes, you're involved in a movement that is about relationships and spreading a certain message throughout the world. And I just recently I'm a little bit tiny involved in that, and I'm so lucky to be to whatever extent. And yes, there's another one that I'm just recently becoming involved with as well. It's a relationship marketing. It's not a marketing thing, but it's a campaign about hugging. It's called Hug It Forward, and it is all about changing relationships throughout the world. So I'm actually really excited to be talking about that as well as your project, which is 10 Million Clicks for Peace, which is about spreading peace throughout the world using relationships, both online and off. And I think this is going to be a really fun, really important, just a fun show today. So,
did you realize that Pay It Forward is my number one favorite movie?
I did not realize that. I did not. It's on my top 10 list. Absolutely, but I didn't know that. We should rent movies together sometime and get some popcorn and watch.
In fact, in the first three groups of apprentices, when we got to the topic of joint ventures, we actually did a movie night where we all rented Pay It Forward and watched it together. That's how important I think Pay It Forward is to building a business.
Oh, I had no idea. I think that is so fantastic. I am an emotional person. I think you've guessed this by now. And certain things just move me. Just, you know, they hit me right there. And Pay It Forward was certainly one of them. And I'm not sure, Gina, if Pay It Forward started from that Chicken Soup for the Soul story or not. But do you remember? There was a story in Chicken Soup for the Soul. I think it was called Blue Ribbons, turned into the Blue Ribbon campaign. Have you heard about that?
I did.
Okay, so same concept. And, of course, the idea is whether we're spreading peace, whether we're spreading hugs, or whether we're just spreading goodwill, help, whatever it is, as in pay it forward, the idea is that, you know, one person can make a difference for another person who can then pass it on and make a difference for another person, and it just multiplies and multiplies from there. Because that kind of idea, this pay it forward, click it forward with, you know, click 10 million clicks for peace, hug it forward, it is about, it lets all of us know that we are not alone, and it lets us know that we can, that help is there when we need it, and that we can give help when others need it, and how powerful, how absolutely powerful that is to change things. It's gosh, there's money, there's business, there's all kinds of, you know, there's our economy, there's, you know, war in the world, and all these things, these big problems that we have to solve, and they are big problems. But sometimes I think it's very easy to forget how powerful simple things, simple little things, how powerful they can make a difference. Let me give you, can I give you just a marketing example of something I heard just the other day?
Sure.
Okay, so this is on a very small level, but it's a perfect example of this. I almost started a job here, a new job here recently. There was a sales job on the side, and anyways, they were telling this story. So this is a sales job where people, you know, the salespeople talk with other people, and people come into the sales center. I won't say what the venue was, but here's the point. So there was apparently a woman, a, you know, potential customer who came into this place, and apparently she was very grouchy and not very nice, and word was spreading throughout the sales force that this woman was a bee, fill in the blank. And just, I mean, literally, that's what they're saying. Oh, there's this person, and nobody wanted to deal with this woman. Nobody wanted to get her because, number one, she was mean and grouchy and that, and number two, they just knew it wasn't going to be a sale because she was a whatever with a capital B. That was what was spreading. Well, of course, somebody had to work with her, and, you know, one girl, young saleswoman was assigned to work with her, which is just fine. And she, you know, went up to the woman, and instead of, I think a lot of people were inclined already saying, ooh, whoever gets her, they're just going to have to hurry up and, you know, go through the sales process and get her out the door because she's a mean person, right? And but this young woman, you know, being mindful, and I think she was a new salesperson too, she was mindful of, hey, you know, we don't prejudge, we just, you know, we just go through the process. And she saw that the woman was just having a bad day. And part of the sales process is getting people something nice to, you know, getting them a little snack or getting them settled in before they start this presentation. And so the young saleswoman was doing that with the woman, and she helped her get her, instead of saying, I'll go over there and help yourself to some food, she helped her get her food. She asked her if she could use anything. She was connected. You could tell that she cared. And the saleswoman later reported that at that moment when she was conscientiously going out of her way to help the woman, to be nice to her, connect with her, despite how everybody was kind of being, you know, hands-off with the mean woman, the saleswoman felt a shift in the mean woman right there. And I'll, you know, change the mean woman to a nice woman here in a moment. She felt a shift in her energy and a shift in the way she started acting and behaved, and everything changed from there. You know, the whole sales presentation changed from what could have been a, you know, all right, I'm here because I have to be, and I'm here listening to you because I have to. It changed from that into just a very nice connected process. And, by the way, it turned into a sale for the young saleswoman. But the bigger point is this woman was mean and grouchy. From what I hear, apparently that it seemed to be that was the kind of the way she went through her day-to-day. That seemed to be the kind of person she was. And what became apparent from this young saleswoman is that sometimes people have experiences in their lives that can put them in that state of mind. And people have bad things happen to them that make them feel lonely and defensive and afraid. And, you know, I don't know about you. I think I try to be a nice person and positive, but I have bad days, Gina. I have bad days. Bad things happen to me. And so I know I've been places where, whether it's a grocery store, even just picking my kids up from my school, and I've been surprised when people treated me, when it was apparent to me that I was being grouchy. I was being that grouchy, mean person. Not intentionally. I'm never, like, loud, but I was giving off that energy. And it became apparent to me that people were seeing me, viewing me, judging me, whatever, as a mean person or something like that. And, of course, this was, you know, oh, you know, I'm a nice person. How could anybody see me that way? But that's been the energy I've given off at times. However, when somebody, and whether it was because, you know, the kids were arguing or my bills were late or whatever it was that put me in that bad mood or that I allowed myself to be in that bad mood, there have been times, time and time again, when somebody, even though I was grouchy, smiled. They found a way to make me smile. They saw the human side of me anyways, and they shifted my energy, and they shifted my day. And then, of course, I turned around and was probably a lot sweeter to my kids, a lot sweeter to my spouse, or whoever else I encountered. And the point of all of that is that when we, as human beings, as well as business people, when we intentionally go throughout our day, whether we're marketing to our potential customers, or we're spreading our messages, or we're living our lives, when we intentionally do it from the point of view that a smile, an intention of spreading peace, sending a hug, sending something good towards the way of those around us, including those who maybe are just having bad days, it can change everything. It just can change everything.
And it really can.
Yeah.
And this whole concept of pay it forward or hug it forward or whatever you want to call it forward, where you're going about your day in a way that it touches just a couple of people. Not a lot, just a couple. But you touch them in a way that you tell them you want them to touch somebody else. It is viral marketing at its best. You don't need all of the hype and gimmicks that come with viral videos and viral games and viral greeting cards to cause a viral marketing to happen. If each one of us were to go and touch only even 3 to 5 people and ask each of them to go and touch 3 to 5 people, it would take us only a couple of months to touch every person on this planet. So why can't we use that concept to really make a difference? Why can't we use that to bring drinking water to every human being on the planet, or to end poverty, or to end war, or any of the other bunch of problems that still exist on our planet?
Well, that's an excellent question. Why can't we? And I think the answer is apparent that we can. You know, I'm looking at your website here, the 10 million clicks for peace. Now, tell me for a moment, what is the purpose behind 10 million clicks for peace? And the reason is, one, I think everybody needs to hear about this. And two, I would love to hear about your ideas for the campaign for spreading this. Because for anybody who's listening to the show today, if you have a message, whether it's a marketing message, but I think today we're really focusing on making a difference kinds of things, we're talking about the best ways to make this, to make these things spread in the way that, like, Pay It Forward did. So,
Anna, I want to clarify one piece of what you just said.
Okay.
What we're really talking about is ways that for-profit businesses that very much make you money, can do things just ever so slightly different, so that not only are you making money, but you're making a difference at the same time. And to me, that's what we're talking about, because you don't have to go and change what you're doing in your business. If you're an infopreneur in the health niche, you can still continue to be an infopreneur in the health niche. If you're someone who sells golf clubs to the golf niche, you can still sell golf clubs to the golf niche. But can you add one little thing that not only helps you grow your business, but also helps to make a difference for other people? So if you're that person out there with that golf business and you're selling golf clubs, could you maybe take each person who buys something from you and get them to go and share some story about golf with 2 people who aren't currently golfers? Could you get them to donate $1 that you can use to find a way to teach golf to people in third world countries? I'm really grasping here, but those kinds of things, so that you can keep doing what you're doing, but use it to also make a difference. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, and thank you for clarifying. Absolutely, really important that, yes, business can make a difference. You know, you bring up, let's see, have you heard of, I'm sure you have, Ubuntu and the guy behind that by chance?
I have.
Okay, so, and I don't know everything behind it, but for those who don't know about it, as I understand it, the man behind Ubuntu made a lot of money in something or other, wanted to buy of computers for Africa, for people, you know, for children and people in Africa, laptops, solar-powered or electric-generated, something like that, so that people could conduct business, learn, tap into the Internet. But then realized that, gosh, then they would still have to buy all these licensing fees through Microsoft or whatever, so he came up with all of this freeware software through Ubuntu that mirrors, you know, basically Microsoft Office and all of the software that we have to pay for. But he took a business concept and turned it into a huge, making a difference throughout the world.
Have you seen the computers that they have out there now?
No, because
they're doing it. They're actually doing it.
Are they out there?
They are. They're in 15 different countries. They have thousands of computers in every one of them. We're talking third world countries that have no electricity, no running water. Their kids are going to school using these computers. The computers are so phenomenal. They have these two antenna-looking things on them that are in part how they connect to the Internet. They have solar panels on the top and on the sides of them, but they're built in a way that it costs only about $100 to develop each computer.
No way.
And then, yes. And then they use them to send them out to these third world countries so that each child can actually end up with the computer. And they then tap into the Internet to do all of their lessons online.
Now, see, that is amazing. I'm so happy to hear it's out there because that, gosh, the difference that makes. There's this story, I'll think in a minute of where I read about it, but anyways, of this kid in some African country, maybe Uganda, maybe somewhere else. It's definitely, it's a Cynthia Kersey story, an unstoppable story is what it is. And this kid somehow got a copy of a book somewhere and saw a picture of the University of, I don't know, Virginia or someplace like that, and heard about, you know, what can happen in America. And this was definitely, he lived in a village where there weren't books, there weren't running water, there weren't, you know, most people didn't go to school. I don't remember all of the details, but somebody, I think missionaries or somebody like that, had gone through there and left some books, maybe done some teaching. And because of that, you know, this kid's village, I know that there was war and famine involved, I know there was family separation and all that, but it sparked this idea in this young man's mind that he was going to go to college and make it to America. Looking up the story, I'll find it in a minute. And it sparked this incredible thing, and he walked barefoot like 2,000 miles across Africa, found a way to, and along the way wrote letters and did all these things to get a passport and all visas, all the things you have to do to get the money, to get a ticket, you know, to get on a boat or a plane, I forget which, to make it to America, found his way to get into this university. And the story, if you read about it, if you haven't read it, get Cynthia Kersey.
It's the Lost Boys Foundation. It originated in the Sudan, and it actually has been told in many, many places now. There's a TV program called Seventh Heaven. And the two boys that were the first two that did this, they walked over 2,000 miles, were just recently on that show.
That's right. That's right. You and I talked about this before. Same story.
But same story. Same exact story. And see, books are a thing that's a big deal in those types of places because the humidity in those tropical countries is so bad that books literally disintegrate. I talked to Dr. Carol that you introduced me to recently, who has the Angels for Haiti Project.
Yes. Yep.
When she goes, she brings about 500 sheets of paper with her. So just a one ream of paper, basically.
Okay.
And those kids treasure that paper. It lasts less than 30 days. It literally disintegrates day by day because of the humidity.
Really? I never would have thought.
So these computers, it's a really big deal. They can't tap into the knowledge base that's out there through books. Not possible. But if everything is digital and they can get on them through solar-powered laptops that don't need electricity, that don't need wires, now look at all that knowledge that they can have. So here's what 10 million clicks for peace is really all about. We believe that the wisdom that is needed to solve the issue of world peace is really existent right now in our world. It's simply spread out among millions and millions of people. And different people have a secret, but nobody knows about one another. So the real mission of 10 million clicks for peace is to be able to accumulate all of that knowledge into one single repository, bringing all of the peacemakers of the world together so that we plan on developing the World Handbook of Peace that becomes a book that has lessons about developing inner peace, developing outer peace in many different ways. How do you no longer need wars? How do you end poverty? Because poverty really is the number one cause of disharmony in our society today. So all of those different topics will be covered, and internal peace is a big thing too. All of those topics will be covered in this World Handbook of Peace. And as we're going out uniting peacemakers around the globe, we will be using the funds that we raise to work with different micro projects, helping them to further their cause rather than simply going out and starting a new cause of our own.
Beautiful.
So there's so many people out there that really are trying already in their own small ways to make a difference. But because each person is standing there on their own, they can't get a big enough reach. What really is needed is a pay it forward concept, a hug it forward concept, a way to help them get a bigger reach faster. And so by bringing everyone together into a single repository of peace and putting into that some mechanism that allows people to spread the message and make it viral, we believe that it can really make a difference in the world. So for those who don't know about 10 million clicks for peace, you can join us free at askggg.com/peace, P-E-A-C-E, askggg.com/peace, P-E-A-C-E. And last Thursday, we launched our first Facebook application. Very simple little application right now that will display on your Facebook profile a little box that will show you what impact you have made on peace. What we do is we've developed the technology that allows you to track your impact on peace. It tracks the number of people you refer. It tracks the amount of money you've raised to help make the world a better place. And it tracks not just your own donations, but anything that comes in from anyone you have touched. So if you remember back to that show that we talked about LinkedIn on, and we saw that I had 147 people that I was directly connected to, but my real reach was 3.4 million people.
Right.
What happens with our technology is, let's say you only tell 5 people. But each of those 5 people then tell 5 people. It tracks at an unlimited number of levels deep. A year ago, I did a teleconference with 80 people. I showed them how to each put a little yellow ribbon that we call the little yellow tag for peace onto their website. those 80 people started by putting that tag on their website. We did nothing else at all, just that one thing with 80 people. The tags were seen on all of these 80 websites plus mine, so 81 websites. Today, that has grown 18 levels deep and is responsible for bringing in more than $10,000 a month in donations in about 15 months. Just from telling 80 people. So imagine if I had told 10 and told those 10 to tell 10 and told those 10 to tell 10, how much bigger it would have gotten.
Absolutely. It's incredible. Now, let me just go into this a little bit further. So I signed up on your 10 million clicks for peace, and I have my peace meter, and one of the things that I remember that you guys did, in addition to creating this Facebook application, in fact, you did it with that as well, is you had... in order to further spread this Clicks for Peace and to help me spread it, you had a sort of a tell-a-friend script. And I'm bringing this up because for anybody who wants to be able to do this, I think this is a really a brilliant and important part of spreading your campaign. And it's something we're definitely going to do for Hug It Forward. So I clicked on my – here's my peace meter. And somewhere in there, you guys installed a tell-a-friend script. Can you tell our listeners – what that's about, how you did that, and how they can do the same.
Sure, and we're just about to change the telefriend script that's in there to make it like a telefriend script on steroids.
Oh, I like
the
it.
One that's in there right now is something we had someone create custom for us. And basically all it does is inside of the members area, there's a little area that says tell your friends. And you go in and you put in the name and email address of your 10 friends. We then generate a message that comes from you, comes from your email address. You can even write the message if you want. If not, we've got some text in there that you can just click and send. And it sends them a message that includes your referral ID so that we can track things back to you. Now, what we're getting ready to implement, there is a really cool script that's called OctaZen, O-C-T-A. Z-E-N, OctaZen.com, OctaZen.com.
Okay.
OctaZen is a telefriend script on steroids. So the same premise, you're going to tell your friends about something. But instead of having to type in your friend's name and email address, you can import your contacts. That means if you're using a desktop client like Windows Mail or Outlook Express, you can import those contacts. You can import your contacts from Gmail, Hotmail, AOL, Yahoo. I think there's about 30 different mail services. You can import your friends from Facebook. You can import your friends from MySpace. You can import your friends from about 20 different social networks. And the message gets generated to all of them just by you hitting send.
Okay, now I have a question on that. I have come across that, of course, on yours, on 10 Million Clicks for Peace and others as well. And for anybody who hasn't seen that yet, so it'll come up and say, tell a friend, and it'll say, you know, Jen, what's your email address? And so I'll type in my email address. And it allows you, it's a secure way of allowing this program to go and to get my contacts, to send, it's a one-time message. It doesn't hold on to passwords.
Yeah, we don't store the friends' email addresses. If they don't take action from the message that's being sent, we don't keep them. We don't have a way to continue to mail to them. That would be a violation of canned spam.
Spam, right. And that was actually my question that I don't know that works with spam. Are there any challenges with generating this telefriend one-time email?
That's why it's not sent from 10 million clicks for peace. It's sent from the person who's telling us about their friends. It's their name. It's their email address.
Okay.
So if we had instead sent the message from 10 million clicks for peace, it would very much be under the control of most spam laws, and we would be considered as spammers.
Okay. Okay.
But because it's one friend telling their other friends, and there is a legitimate existing relationship that allows the person to mail to these people,
right,
there is no violation at all of the spam laws. If we instead stored those names in our database to send messages to them later on, again, that would be spam. But since it's never stored anywhere, the minute you're done with that application, it's all deleted, there's no violation. So it's a really great way of spreading a message quickly. If you had nothing more than 100 people come and import their friends and send this out, and each one of those 100 reached just 100 extra people, it's going to grow to the size of millions in less than a week.
Which is amazing, and especially if on that, whatever the little message is, like when I clicked on to 10 million clicks for peace, I don't recall the exact message, but it said, it automatically said, I think it even filled in my name, and it said something like, you know, hey friend, Jennifer has sent you this message from 10 million clicks for peace, which is about dot, dot, dot. And it gave me, I think it also gave me a chance to, if I wanted to add a few words of my own.
You can't, correct.
And it was short and it was sweet. So your message for 10 million clicks for peace, and whatever these telefriend messages are, they're short and sweet. They've got to be engaging, right? Because you only have a few short words to make people want to say, yeah, I want to pass that on. So we do that if we want to add a little personalization. Hey, it's, you know, Jen in Southern California, and I really believe in this 10 million clicks for peace thing. Check it out. In these messages, can you also include the URL, for example, of whatever website or whatever thing you're promoting right in the message itself?
It automatically does that, and at the end of it, it actually automatically attaches your ID so that it tracks it back to you on autopilot.
Okay, excellent.
So that's the key to making it work, is you've got to get that URL in there.
And is it difficult to use one of these telefriend scripts, like this OctaZen that you're talking about?
OctaZen is so simple. I actually had hired a programmer to install it for me the first time I used it. And my programmer was just taking forever to do it. And I said, oh, I wonder if I can figure out how to do this myself. So I went in and I said, okay, I'm going to try it. Don't know for sure if I can do it, but I'm going to try it. It was so easy. I had it completely installed in under 40 minutes.
Okay, and you installed it in under 40 minutes. Just
and I am not techie at all.
Okay, so I went to the OctaZen site, and I see they give you instructions on how to install it. They give you some code and stuff. I'm taking it. You just need to be able to upload it somewhere in your website. See if you have a little.
Correct.
Okay.
And they've now come out with a new version that they host on their website for you. So you only have to copy and paste one short line of HTML code onto your website. And that's an option for those who are really not techie and really don't want to have to go hire programmers. But even to hire somebody, you can go to like elance.com or scriptlance.com or guru.com, and I don't think it would cost you more than about $25 to have somebody set it up for you. And worst case scenario, just have OctaZen host it, copy and paste the one little line of code onto the website where you want the telefriend piece to show up, and you can do it that way too.
Yeah. And for those of you who are not super techy, I'm telling you right now, it's if you find somebody to do the $25 to install it, great, do that. Or if not, then just go to get the copy and paste of the short little code. I've seen more people, Gina, myself included, caught up in not moving forward on a project, a business, of whatever, because we couldn't figure out some simple techie thing. So if they have the ability to just copy and paste little text in there, gosh, guys, go do that.
I've seen it as well. And the key to making this work is that you really do have to go and take action. Then you've got to be strategic about it. So if you're not going to be strategic about it, you're not going to get the result you're looking for. So what do I mean by that? You need to contemplate, what is it you're trying to achieve by doing this? Figure out where that end result is, because the how of what you do will change depending upon what you're trying to achieve. The message that gets sent will change depending upon what your outcome is. I can tell you, I just went to the Octazen site. I can tell you that some of the sites that are using Octazen's actual script include Twitter, Squidoo, XING, Zing, Zanga, Tagged, FriendFeed. So these are sites that are very social, that are growing by leaps and bounds. And the reason that they are growing so big so fast is because of Octazen. It's a really inexpensive way to get the same kind of growth within your business.
Okay. So we go and get this tell-a-friend script from Octazen, for example, and it looks like a really good one. I actually did a search before you mentioned the name of it, and thus far from my very quick search, Octazen seems to be the simplest, and, well, it seems like a really good one. Okay.
I've tried probably 8 or 9 of them, and out of all that I have tried, it is easier and cheaper.
Okay, and ladies and gentlemen, Gina has tried lots of different softwares, and sometimes I'll try the others that she says not to try, and then I pretty much always end up going back to the one she recommends. So I'm just putting that
out. Yeah, I don't make recommendations lightly, Jennifer.
She's, yeah.
If I really only know of one, and I know there's others and I haven't tried them, I'll tell you that right up front. But if I'm saying I recommend it, it means I've already tried the other crap that's out there. This is the one you want to use.
Okay. We now have our tell-a-friend script. Just like 10 million clicks for peace, just like Hug It Forward, we'll have what's next. What can we do next to help virally spread our message campaign or marketing message?
So you've got to have a reason for people to click the link in that message.
Say that again. What do you mean you've got to have a reason? Is this just like, hey, click here now, or something bigger than that?
Exactly. So in this message that my members send out, if it didn't give them a reason to click, and in our case, the reason for them to click is that they can have an impact in peace. If there's no reason there, they're not going to want to click, no matter how close they are to the friend that told them about it.
Yep.
So there's got to be a something in it for that person clicking on the link. Now, that might be a free download. That might be making a difference. It might be even that you're going to pay that person to click on the link. Gosh knows there are plenty of examples of people getting paid to click links.
Yep.
And those things can work too. But there's got to be some very compelling reason for them to click.
Yep.
And then you've got to be clear on what you want them to do or what action you want them to take after they've clicked that link. So what happens next? If they simply click on a link and it goes to a page that says, thanks, and that's all it says, is just thanks, do you think they're really going to cause some bigger chain reaction to occur? Nope, not going to happen. So in 10 million clicks for peace, after they click that link, they come to our website where they're shown a very short 3-minute video that carries our message. On that same page, as they're watching that video, they can fill in the form to become a member themselves. Once they get into the members area, now they see what we call our Peace Impact Meter. And at the top left-hand corner in bright red letters, it says, Start Here. And we have a series of 10 steps that we walk people through. And it literally has Start Here. Step 1, Step 2, Step 3. I'll tell you, I have done this a number of different ways in the past. That little Step 1, Step 2, Step 3 versus having all the same information but without step 1, step 2, step 3,
yep,
causes more than 5 times more people to actually complete the action.
Oh, I bet it does. Because, you know, Gina, when we're creating, whether it's a marketing campaign or a message or a movement, it's clear to us, the creators, our intentions. But people who are busy seeing all the thousands of emails they see every day and reading all this stuff, their minds are busy and there's chatter going on, and it's not clear to them. So if we make it easy, make it super easy for them to follow along and get to our intended action, so clicking for peace, signing up, if we make it super easy, say, oh, do this, do this, do this, then their brains don't have to think about it, and they're less likely to say, oh, I don't get it, and give up.
So step one for us is, this is how you read your peace impact meter, this is what it means. Step two is create a chain reaction of peace. We tell them, hey, when you read your peace impact meter, you'll see your impact on peace. Now you want to go out and make an impact. And we tell them the fastest way to improve your impact is to invite your friends. So that's where we get into the tell a friend script. So we get right there on step two, we get those people that just came to go and tell their friends. Then step three, getting alerts. So we send them an alert every time they've helped another person.
Oh.
And we tell them that we're going to do that.
And how do you do that?
The system does it on autopilot. We know that it takes a certain amount of donations to help each person. So we're tracking the amount of donations that are coming in, and each time it accumulates to the level we need it to help another person, an alert is triggered.
Okay.
And then step four is personal growth and gifts of peace. And so we have ways that people can take personal development courses to create inner peace, and we allow them to give gifts of peace. Gifts of peace are things like peace posters that we sell. And these peace posters we literally give away. They simply pay for shipping and handling. They can take these peace posters and give them away as gifts. They're still only going to pay for shipping. They can have peace cards. There's one of our members who buys these peace cards by the box of 500. They're the size of a business card. They have a picture on the front that is a very powerful picture of peace. There is a message on the back that has a message of peace. And below that, it has a URL that is her referral ID that people can go and get their own gifts of peace or make a difference on peace themselves. And she refers more members than anybody else, simply because every place she goes, the bank, the grocery store, the beauty salon, every place she goes, whoever she deals with, she hands them a peace card.
Oh, so we're providing tools, as many tools as we can, to the people, whether it's our customers or the people spreading the message forward. The tools
you got it.
Tell a friend script. Business cards with the idea on it. What other tool ideas do you have, Gina?
Well, that poster would be a good one. People can put posters in different places. They can give them away as gifts. T-shirts is a good one. There's a company called Printing and then the number 4profits.com, printing4profits.com. It's my good friend Alan Cutts. This is a really unique idea. Alan's printing company is huge. They can set you up as a printing business for yourself. They will do all of the shipping, all of the printing, all of the everything, and they'll do it under your business name. The invoices that get sent have your business name on it. The labels have your business name on it. It costs $175 to set yourself up as a printer. Well, I've done this for a couple of clients in the past. They were putting out different types of products, some of them physical, some of them digital. And inside of a members area, they set up a little area where their members and affiliates could go and get things that had their referral IDs on it. So for $175, Alan actually gives you this little portal. you upload the graphics that you want to have on each item that you're going to offer. You set your own prices so you can choose whether you want to have it just at your cost or whether you want to make some money on it. You could actually use it as a profit center because you can set your price as high as you want it to go. And then allow them to customize, like, by putting their name or their affiliate ID. So in the past, I've used this for affiliates to be able to go and get business cards that are business cards for the affiliate product that they sell that has their affiliate ID and URL on it. They've been able to get door tag hangers that they can go door to door and leave a little card hanging on the door that, again, has their name, their phone number, their URL. Posters was another big one. For some offline stuff, you can get small businesses to put posters in their windows for you. That works really well. Magnets, get people to pass around magnets. Buttons, you know, like Obama campaign buttons, those kinds of buttons with your message on it. T-shirts. What else did we have in there? We had some laminated cards that had like an affirmation or a quote of the day that people could get and pass out. But again, it had their name, their URL on it. There's hundreds of things that are you can choose from in this portal, and you pick and choose the things you want to make available. It ties into Alan's printing business, so you collect the money. The orders all go off to Alan's company. All happens automatically. Alan built the system to do it that way. He prints the order. He ships the order. Then he invoices you for your cost on the order, and you pay him.
Ah. See, now that's brilliant. I was thinking about some of the different network marketing businesses I've been involved in the past where, I would order my tools, whether they were the tapes or the CDs or the brochures, and it all came from one place. But it was not personalized. But I'm thinking, well, except for like maybe the business cards themselves, and I'm thinking, and I remember asking how I could do something like that and thinking, I bet you have to be a big company to be able to do that. But this is
great. You have to have $175 to do it.
There you go. So I could set up, Jennifer's dog grooming business and call up Alan and have everybody who wanted to help sell Jennifer's dog grooming tools and services, and they would go on there and they'd be able to print up business cards and T-shirts and mugs and whatever that said, John's, customize it to themselves, the same tools that I provide, but customize it to themselves.
And if you simply pay them an affiliate commission of some sort, so let's say dog grooming is $50 a dog, and you're going to pay somebody $5 for every person that they refer, trust me, they're going to put a little effort into it.
That's interesting. And now, well, I guess it depends. I was going to ask what kind of a turnaround it takes for doing a setup like this and having business cards or T-shirts or posters available. Do you have an
idea? Usually takes Alan about 72 hours from the time the order is placed to get the product into somebody's hands.
Whoa. And for setup, let's say I sent Alan a T-shirt template, a poster template today. How long does setup and getting that in place?
That's not how it works. What happens is you go pay your $175.
Okay.
You talk to them to get this little portal set up, and they'll set it up on your domain for you. I think they charge you like $50 to do it. Then you go into an admin area, and you go to each product you want. You add it. You upload the graphic for it, and it's ready to go. You could send people to go and get their orders that day.
Way.
Yeah, really. So figure a day, 2 days tops, depending upon how much effort you want to put into it.
Huh.
If you've already got your graphics, you can be up and running really fast, well under a week.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's fast. That's a good tool. That's a really good tool to have. Okay. So now...
And it's funny because I don't think enough people really even think about those kinds of things when they're small businesses, especially internet businesses. Do you know who uses those kinds of portals more than anybody else?
I bet you're going to tell us.
Offline businesses, Alan's number one customers are real estate companies. Century 21, Coldwell Banker. They set up those little portals for all of their realtors. And so any one of the agents that work within those companies can go and customize whatever kinds of materials they want through that kind of a system. And guess what? The parent company makes money every time they do. So talk about a great way to make money from both ends. Now you're not only making money on your affiliates because of the sales that they bring in, you're making money directly on your affiliates.
Okay, so
and affiliates love the ability to have business cards. They don't get that as an opportunity very often. So if you're going to become a big player in your industry, you could easily go to all of your competitors, their affiliates, and let them get business cards through you, and it's going to carry their name, their email address, their phone number, their affiliate link to you. Who do you think they're going to promote first, you or your competition?
Oh, well, absolutely me.
Right. So really think about that long and hard when you're setting your prices, because that, to me, is worth spending money for. I would somehow sell it to them either at my cost or even below my cost, just because it's such a huge thing for having all of those people passing your message around.
That's a really good point, but the marketing point, the marketing stuff up front. Now, I want to
It's a matter of being clear on your outcome. Is your outcome just making money, or is your outcome really going out and spreading this message to more people so that you can make more money?
Now, let's assume that every single person who's listening to this and is thinking of what they want to do with this, of course, they have that outcome of spreading that message, whatever it is. I want to talk a little bit about, let's see, about the way that we create those messages. And what I mean by that is that whether we're selling a car, a house, or an idea, yes, we can, pay it forward, 10 million clicks for peace, whatever, the sale is not going to be made based on facts, based on, well, this car has, you know, 200 horsepower, da-da-da-da-da, and peace, or peace is very important. If we did peace, it would change the world. It's not going to be based on facts. The sale of getting people to take action, whether it's spending money or doing something, is going to be made based on emotion. The emotions that you and I, the creators of the campaign or whatever, elicit from the people who are reading or clicking on our videos or clicking on our website. We have to create the emotions through these different tools, our business cards, whatever, so that people want to then take an action because they've been moved by emotion. So let's talk about how to create that emotion in our marketing message. I'm looking at, again, I'm looking at your 10 million clicks for peace. I'm looking at some of the really cool people you guys have involved in this. My goodness, Archbishop Desmond Tutu, Deepak Chopra. Okay, sometimes just Jack Canfield, just by name recognition alone, that can be like, oh, well, if those people are involved, I should get involved. But even if you didn't have some of those amazing people saying, yeah, 10 million clicks for peace is great, you've got some emotional reasons behind that. Everybody in the world knows peace is a good idea, but everybody in the world is not necessarily going to do something about it until you give them an emotional reason why they should start doing something today. So, Dina, tell us how you and your partners in, or the team members for 10 Million Clicks for Peace, created the emotional messages so that you know that people will want to click on that, you know, click on that link, go sign up in the members area, get their own peace meter. What do you do to create the emotional need for people to take action?
Well, there's two different pieces to that. The first piece is truly relationships. It's building relationships with each and every person who is an ideal prospect. And although you're reaching people as a group, each individual within that group needs to feel like you are connecting with them, just one person, one at a time, for the entire group. So when you're putting your messages together, you've got to put them together in a way that makes one reader feel like you wrote it just for him or her, not for everybody. Now, granted, you're really writing it for everybody, but it's one at a time. Does that make sense?
Yes. So no, you know, dear friend, dear sir, dear name.
It's not, hey, you guys, it's hey, Susan, or hey, Jennifer, or hey, John.
Right.
Okay. And as you write the message, you write it to touch just that one person. The reason you write a series of messages is each message will resonate with a different person or a different series of people. So if you're writing to get people into 10 million clicks for peace, writing in a way that would touch anyone who is a mom versus anyone who is a realtor versus anyone who is a college student, so that you're touching them one college student at a time. Now, the mom still gets the same message that went out to the college kids. She may not be touched by it, but then when she gets the message about mom, she goes, oh, now I get what they're talking about. And she doesn't even realize why she didn't get it before and why she gets it now.
So when we're writing these messages, then we're going to imagine ourselves, either if we happen to be a mom or a college student or whatever, from the point of view of, oh, what would a mom or a college student want to hear? Or if not, then we're going to, imagine ourselves sitting across the coffee table talking to, sharing this with a college student, a mom, a CEO, whatever, and then write the message.
Exactly. So this is why I tell my students that you really have to know exactly who your ideal prospect is. It's why I ask that you do a character study of that person and even go so far as to get a picture of that person. So that when you sit down to create that message, you can look at that picture and know in your heart and your mind exactly who you're writing it to. If you've got a fairly broad audience that you're targeting, well, then get a bunch of different pictures, each one being indicative of another ideal prospect, so that you can reach all of them, and you're going to write to them one person at a time.
Yeah, and listeners, for those of you who don't know, Gina has us embodying multiple personality syndrome in our mind, and I'm being a little facetious, but it's absolutely true that we have to take on the people that we're looking to communicate with.
You really do.
Yeah, yep. Absolutely.
So that's only the first part of it. The second part of it is when someone gets to your website, they've got to have an emotional connection while they're there. You've got to create an entire package that creates that emotion within them. That's what causes them to want to take action. What I mean by that is it's not just one piece. It's a combination of everything that's there. It's the colors that you use on your page, the graphics that you use on your page, the pictures that you use on the page, the headlines that you use on the page, the message that's on the page, the audio or video that's on the page. Together, all of it creates an emotion. You want people to have a positive emotional experience while they are on your website, so that once that experience is finished, it will cause them to want to continue that emotion once they leave the site. And the reason for them taking action is to do exactly that. They've had this very positive experience that's touched them emotionally, and they will buy something to continue that emotion beyond the pages on your website. One of the best examples of this is what Morgan Westerman had done years ago with The Interview with God. It was a flash movie. He had the number one search engine ranking for the term God for years. People would get to the website. They would see this flash movie that was called The Interview with God. It was created just from a little public domain poem that had already been on more than 10,000 web pages when Morgan found it. He used that poem, went and found very moving pictures, and then created from it this flash presentation. When people got done watching it, they were touched. So on the next page, they could buy a screensaver that would allow them to continue the emotion beyond the pages of the website. They could either download it immediately or order it on a CD-ROM. A number of people, better than 75% of all the people who watched the movie, went on to buy that screensaver. After they had bought the screensaver, they were then shown an opportunity to continue it further through coffee table books. And each time they got to one of these pieces, they could tell their friends about it, or they could buy more than one copy so they could give it to their friends as a gift. Well, for those that watched that flash presentation, it was totally free to do so. Out of every 5 people, 4 told at least one friend. That's why there were more than 1.3 million subscribers to Morgan's list over the course of about a 3.5-year period.
Wow.
He sold millions of copies of the screensaver. I think it was something like 8 million copies of the screensaver. The book, again, more than 1 million copies of the book. And then once they got done with all of these different things that they could buy, there was a portal that allowed them to send greeting cards, e-cards, to their friends. Each greeting card was created from one of the images in the Flash movie with one of the messages from the Interview with God poem.
Wow.
Millions of people sent those greeting cards all over the Internet. And it just perpetuated that traffic coming back. And because each thing that he had caused that emotion to occur, caused that experience to occur, even if someone's first opportunity to hear about Interview with God was getting one of the physical products, more often than not, they would then come back to the website just because it's got the link on everything. And when they would get back to the website, the whole process would start all over again. That's the same kind of thing that every one of you want to create for yourself. So regardless of what field you're in, it's all about that experience that someone has while they're on your website. If you're in the golf niche, create an experience that makes somebody feel like they're Tiger Woods by the time that they're done on your website. They will want to continue feeling like they're Tiger Woods when they leave. If you then have them look at a product that will allow them to feel like Tiger Woods once they're gone, they're going to buy it.
That's right. Okay, now I have a question for those listening, a question as to how people can create that experience. And what I mean specifically is, you said this guy Morgan Westerfield created this video with these pictures and whatnot that was very emotional. And now some people have access to video studios and videographers and stuff, and can create these very emotional films. I shared with you recently, I met the studio that's done a lot of amazing campaigns for a lot of the big names out there, but including they had a big part in Obama's campaign. And so if we happen to have access to a great studio like that, perfect. But if we don't have access to a big fancy studio who can create these videos for us, what is the easiest way somebody sitting at home on their computer can create some kind of a flash presentation or something like that to further the emotional experience while on?
You don't even need a big flash presentation. I mean, it would cost you thousands of dollars to create a flash presentation like the one that Morgan had done. You can do the same thing with words, with audio. So even a blog can cause that same experience to happen. It's a matter of putting the right pieces into a place that would allow that.
Okay. But now, can't we also, for those sitting at home, we can use things like, well, we could create a simple PowerPoint presentation and put audio to it, load that up, upload that to our site. We could use, if we were, we could use something like Camtasia or some of those other screen capture video software.
There's a really simple one called Movie, M-U-V-E-E, Movie.
Okay.
And what Movie lets you do is you create a PowerPoint presentation, you drag it into Movie, you find the audio that you want, you drag it into Movie, and you tell it, make movie. It assembles it into a movie, you hit save, and you're done.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you. That's what I was looking for, a simple solution for creating that. And then you just go and you can upload that to your website or whatever?
Yes. You could use Camtasia, which you were talking about, which is a screen capture tool.
Okay.
You open Camtasia, you start your recording, then you start playing that slideshow from PowerPoint. And as you're doing that, you play the audio, whether you're speaking, whether it's music, whether you've got music playing and you're speaking over it, doesn't matter. When you're done, you hit stop, and it saves it as a movie.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Now, too many people think that if you've got that type of a movie, all you have to do is upload it to YouTube, and voila, you've got millions of people hitting your website. It does not happen that way.
It doesn't. Why not?
It does not. Here's how YouTube works. One of my students actually created a movie back in October. She spent about $1,000 creating the movie. She actually wrote the music and went to a recording studio to record the song that is the music in her video. To this day, I think she's had about 150 people view her video.
Oh.
Here's the way it works. When you first put your video up on YouTube, it's just up there. People now need to find it. Yes, YouTube has millions and millions of visitors every single month, but they only see things that are up on the front page of YouTube or maybe on the front page of a category. The way that things show up in the front page of a category or on the front page of YouTube is based upon the number of views they've already had as well as the number of ratings they've already had. So when you first upload your video and you're the only person that's watched it, it doesn't have enough traffic to show up at the top of a category or at the top of YouTube. In order to get the traffic from YouTube, you've got to cause more people to see your video first. You got to get enough people to view it to at least get it into the top 100 videos in your category. And then once it's in the top 100 of your category, you need enough traffic to get it to the top 15 or so of the category in order for it to show up on the front page of YouTube.
And so
you've got to cause that to happen. Go ahead.
I was just saying, so how do we cause that to happen? And that's kind of what we're talking about today. We cause all these people to view our videos that might be loaded on YouTube, and, of course, there's a link to it on our page and whatnot. We cause that to happen by using these viral tools, the Tell a Friend script. We cause that to happen by telling the world about it in Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn and Plaxo. We have these campaigns that tell the world about it.
Any video that you put up on YouTube, YouTube will give you what's called an embed code. It's a one-line piece of code that you can put on any web page, and it will make your video appear on that page. What I would do is I would take that video, I would put the embed code into my blog, so that rather than sending people directly to YouTube, where I get no value from it, I can now send them to my blog, where they will see my video. It still counts as a play for YouTube, but now there's an opportunity for them to see all of the other things that I have to offer and help create that experience for them from my site instead of from YouTube.
So then I would then promote whatever the landing page is that has that video sitting there and preferably, you know, sitting at the top. And is this, when you put that code on the page screen, is it where it's obvious that a video is sitting there and somebody just needs to hit play? Is that kind of how that works?
Exactly. You can actually do it within an individual post on the blog. It doesn't even need to be on its own page.
Can I put it on lots of blogs, lots of posts, lots of different blogs? Can I put that code in forums? Can I?
I don't think you can put it in forums. Most forums wouldn't allow that to happen.
Okay.
But you could put it in the multiple posts, but I think that's going to change the experience someone has on your site. If they're going to come to your blog and they're going to see the same movie in 5 different posts, it's going to start getting boring for them. You could embed it in your sidebar, however, so that anybody reading any post would see it. That's definitely a possibility. Now, then you can do all of the normal things you do to drive traffic to a blog, and people will start seeing that video, and as they do, then it counts as a view in YouTube. You could embed it into a Squidoo lens and allow your Squidoo lens to help you get more traffic to YouTube. There's a really cool little trick that you can use MySpace for. If you have less than 500 friends inside of MySpace, MySpace requires that anyone viewing your profile visit a splash page first. Just part of what they do. On that splash page, it has some additional advertising that MySpace gets paid for, and it can have whatever you want to put on it. Anytime you include a video on that splash page, it automatically plays when someone goes to your profile, and it counts as a view on YouTube. So if you've got less than 500 friends, you could put your video into your splash page in your MySpace profile. You could then go to some of the MySpace groups where your audience might be hanging out and start talking to people. Now, I would not go inviting those people to become your friends, or you're going to go over the 500 friend limit too quickly. Just by talking to people, though, it will include a link back to your profile every time you do. People will naturally click on it to check you out if you're talking like an expert and you're contributing value to the conversation. And all they need to do is go and look at your profile, not join you as a friend, and it will immediately count as a view on YouTube. That right there can usually get you up to the top of your category.
What an interesting, great. Yeah, okay. We go in MySpace, among other things, we put our video link there, and then we go in the different groups in MySpace and just say, we'll contribute to the conversation, have that video or have our profile as part of our signature. It automatically is,
right.
And then people will say, who's this person contributing, and they'll go click on our profile, and if we're under 500 people in MySpace, they'll see the video.
Yep. You can do similar things in Facebook by adding your video to your Facebook profile. You could include your YouTube account in your friend feed and then put a page up like the What's Gina Up To that I have on my blog. You can find it at askggg.com/where's Gina, askggg.com/where's Gina. That takes you to a page where at the top you can see a map of where I'm at. You can actually zoom in on a satellite and see where I'm at. And there's my friend feed that takes anything I talk about, whether it's on Twitter, Facebook, photos I upload to Flickr, videos I upload to YouTube, and it summarizes them all in one place. You could do something like that and make sure your YouTube account is tied to your friend feed and drive traffic to the What's Up page. It's not just doing one thing. It's doing as many things as you can to get enough views to cause it to get to the top of the category. In most categories, you're going to need to drive between 8 and 10,000 views of your YouTube video in order to get to the top 100 of the category. And only when that happens does YouTube start sending traffic back to you.
Okay, so 8 to 10,000. We can do that since we know that we're, with 100 and, what did you say, about 150 people originally in your LinkedIn profile that got you to, what, connected with 18 million people? Are my
numbers? No, 3.4 million people.
All right, it was something big. So we can do that by connecting with our friends and our friends, getting that 8 to 10,000 views. Okay.
The other thing that can affect your views in your YouTube video is the tags that you include for that video. Your tags are basically your keywords. If you're using tags that are highly searched for but have very little competition, then people will find your YouTube video right in the search engine. If you then have a title on your video that's compelling, it will cause people to click on it, and that will get you views. You can actually change those tags around as often as you want. Most of the people who are putting videos out that get to the tops of the category, and all of them that get to the top of YouTube, are changing those tags several times a day.
Really? Now, why would they do that?
Because they're watching to see how much traffic is being generated from each tag. What will happen is, if you use a tag that has, say, 2 to 3 million search results, there's an awful lot of competition. So they're going to put it in and they're going to watch to see, does it show up on the front page of the search engine results? If it doesn't get onto the front page, it's not going to drive enough traffic to cause it to get to the tops of the category and of YouTube. So they test different tags, looking for the ones that have the highest number of searches on a daily basis with the least amount of competition, so that they can get as much traffic as possible from it. The other thing that will happen is on some topics, some keywords, people will want to see videos, and others they won't. So even if you find an ideal keyword that has plenty of demand and very little competition, if it's a keyword that doesn't get people wanting to see a video, well, then it's not going to be helpful anyway.
So a good example of a highly searched term but low competition is something we were talking about just last week. I think it was last week when we did that. We found out that there was a high demand for funeral templates, but very little competition of people providing funeral templates.
Nope, it was a very specific phrase. It was free funeral program template.
Okay, there you go.
Free funeral program template. There were more than 170,000 searches per month. And there was something like under 1,000 search results. What I don't know is, would someone be who is interested in a free funeral program template, would they be interested in seeing a video about it? That's the kind of a keyword where a video might not be very appropriate, and even though there's a lot of demand and very little competition, people may skip over a video because they're looking for a printed template.
Right. Well, let's say that we find a term that people do want to click on a video. How can we tell, Gina? You said that people watch and they may change the tag several times a day to see what the results are. How can we tell which tags are serving us and which ones are not?
You're going to be able to see inside of your YouTube account how many views you're getting. You're going to be able to look in the search engines to see where you're placing in the search results. If you can't tell, and usually you can based on where you're placing, it's normally the ones that are being placed highest that are sending the traffic. If you've got a number of them that are placing high but you're still not getting much traffic, then you can drop most of the keywords and only leave one in there temporarily to see if it's going to drive traffic so that you can test them one at a time to see which one caused the traffic and which ones didn't.
Okay. So we're watching the search engines and we're watching our YouTube account to find out which of those tags are effective. Okay.
Yeah, there's a company out of Texas. Let me go find out what their user ID is in YouTube. There's a company out of Texas that is known for getting really high rankings inside of their YouTube videos. And I've talked to them at length about it. One of the things that they've told me is that they will usually change their tags at least 10 times the first couple of days that they've put a video out.
Interesting. Okay.
I found that very interesting. And it's for this exact reason.
Okay, so you're not just going to put it out there and hope it works. You're going to constantly watch it and tweak it. It's like we test our email campaigns and everything else to see. Now, I have here's a devil's advocate question. How do I know if people are finding my video because of searches they've done versus because of my email campaign or my Twittering campaign or whatever?
You want to be using tracking links. So in the search engines, you're not going to be able to use a tracking link. But in Twitter and Facebook and anything else you're doing, you can use a tracking link so that you can see how much traffic you're getting from those things like Twitter and Facebook and whatnot. They're just redirecting to that embed link that you got from YouTube. So knowing that, it will tell you what the difference is from the search engines.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
That makes sense?
It does. It does. Good. So our campaigns are coming together here. So we've got, just kind of going back to the beginning, because I know we only have a few more minutes. We have our message, 10 million clicks for peace, hug it forward. We've got our messages. We've got our compelling reasons behind our messages, as well as what we want people to do. In your case, you want people to sign up for the accounts. You want them to start spreading the peace message, get donations, spread it forward. In our case, we want people to hug it forward and to spread the idea and the message of and what that can do. So we've got our reasons and our intended actions for our users. We then go and we're creating our websites that have these different tools that allow people to spread the message for us virally. And these tools include things like we had our Tell a Friend script that using a company or software like Octazen, and we have all of those other tools that, for example, videos that we're creating that people can pass on. We've done things like pre-written email messages or pre-written other things that are, whether it's our customers or people who are spreading this message, that they can very simply and very easily, because we've told them how they can spread it. Step one, do this. Step two, you know, fill in the Tell a Friend script. Step three, fill out your peace meter or, you know, tell 10 friends on Facebook. Whatever it is, we've given the people we're contacting very clear steps as to which tools to use first, second, and third, and we've made it super easy for them to do it. And in creating these tools and messages, we've made every one of these messages and videos and whatnot compelling. We've used emotion. We've used things to compel them to very specific action. We've embedded links, put our videos on YouTube using the right tags. We're testing that. Anything else that, Gina, that you see is a very important part of making a very strong campaign to do something as powerful as 10 million clicks for peace or hug it forward? What else can people do?
Well, before you ever get to the point of doing any of that, you've got to have a very well put together plan for how all of the traffic you're going to get will turn into money or will turn into whatever your outcome is. And that we've been planning that for 2.5 years for 10 million clicks and have never launched 10 million clicks fully until last Thursday when we put the Facebook app out there. That's how long it can take to put all of those other things together to make sure that once traffic gets started, it turns into some result. So what I mean by that is if you're selling something, you need a clear plan of how that's going to happen. if you've got, say, a $1,000 product that you really want to sell, how are you going to get people to buy it? Are they going to buy a series of low-end products that will then get them to the point of even being interested in the high-end product? Are you just going to try and lead with the high-end product, which I never recommend doing? What are you going to do to make that happen? You've got to have a clear plan. You've got to have those pieces put together in the way that will get you the biggest result. If you're talking about just building a list, well, what's that list going to turn into down the road? If you're just looking at building the list, then making sure that you've got autoresponder letters so that once somebody gets onto the list, it can cause them to take the next action that you want them to take. All of those pieces have to be very well planned out, put together, put up onto a website before you start doing anything to cause that viral traffic to occur.
So we're very specific about the steps we want people to take. When we're asking them to take steps and we're planning, we hear this from you all the time, start with the end in mind and plan backwards. We're planning these steps. People are taking baby steps, but it's fair to say people are taking baby steps, one thing at a time. We don't say, hi, how are you? Do you want to get married? The same thing with the, hi, how are you? You want to pay me $10,000 for my product or, you know, whatever. We say, hi, how are you? And we get them to take baby steps. Hi, how are you? Will you click on this link to start spreading peace? And then will you invite 10 friends? Then will you da-da-da-da-da? We get them to take steps reaching our end results, which we, the creators of these campaigns, started with from the beginning. This is where we want to go. What do we do to get there? What do we do right before that, right before that, right before that?
Exactly.
Okay. So I'm sensing that we have some growing campaigns, some growing ideas. People are sitting out there listening to this, and they've got some great ideas for their marketing as well as for, I know there's a lot of, Gina, because I know your listeners, the kinds of people you talk to and the kinds of people I talk to tend to be impactors, and so they're thinking about this both for their marketing as well as for the impact they want to make on the world. Anything else? What are the biggest things people should keep in mind in starting to sum this up to make anything that they're doing really big, to make a big impact? We've talked about a lot of different great things, great steps people can take today.
This is the thing that I'm so excited about, the speaking event that I've got at the end of last weekend of April. It's at an event called Impact that's all about making an impact. And I'll be speaking specifically on the topic of social entrepreneurship. But there are going to be speakers and workshops all weekend long. I think it's a 5-day event that's all about making an impact. If you're going out there to make an impact or to have an impact, you've got to go out there as the expert with the voice of an expert in a way that really allows you to become an influencer. You've got to have a well-thought-out message. You've got to have a well-thought-out process. You've got to know, in impacting people, how you're going to get them to take action and what action you're going to get them to take. And that all starts with that overall plan. Without that plan, without being really clear on the outcome, both the outcome for you personally and the outcome for your prospects, it's not going to develop into that true emotional experience at any part of the process. So, does Hug It Forward have a website yet, Jennifer?
Absolutely, we do. It's something that, again, is just starting out, but if you go to, it's Hug It Forward, HUGIT forward, FORWARD.com. We've just barely put it up. If you look there right now, you'll see one thing. Later today, you'll see something else. Hopefully.
Well, I can't wait to watch it evolve.
Yeah.
So that's HugItForward.com. 10 million clicks for peace is at fggg.com/peace. And Jennifer and I will be back next Tuesday at noon Eastern here on Blog Talk Radio for another great episode of Relationship Marketing 101. The 30-day IM Challenge just kicked off this Sunday. If you're not already a part of it, you want to get in right now. You might have a chance at winning one of the $11,000 in prizes at 30dayimchallenge.com. That's it for today. Thank you so much, Jennifer. Thank you, all of you, for being here with us and sharing 90 minutes of great time and energy. I can't wait till next week. Thanks, Jennifer.
That was awesome. Thank you. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.